The Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. This is your radio pastor, Paul Ver. Throughout the years of human history, Jewish people have had a most unique place. This is due to God's special call and purpose for them. The written record of their history in the Bible contains truth far deeper than the mere surface happenings of a race of people. The written account of the system of worship revealed by God and enjoyed by Israel contains special significance. The temple with its priesthood, sacrifices, ceremonies, and celebrations all have enshrined within them both type and lesson of God's planned program of redemption and salvation. Redemption and salvation not just for the Jews alone, but for all men. The seven divinely appointed feasts, though historical and commemorative, also contain revealed prophetic truth. They point clearly to Israel's Messiah and the Savior of all men. In later history, other holidays celebrating God's deliverance and faithfulness to Israel were added to the Jewish calendar. One of these is Purim, also known as the Feast of Esther or the Feast of Lots. Purim is the joyful celebration and commemoration of Israel's preservation from destruction in Persia over 24 centuries ago. The written record is found in the Megillah, or Book of Esther, in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. This beautiful book records the stirring account of Haman's attempt to destroy the Jewish people, and how providentially events were set in motion that brought great deliverance to the Jews and destruction to their enemies. Every year on the 14th day of Adar in the Jewish calendar, a day corresponding with the secular month of March, this thrilling story is read and celebrated in song, mime, and play. The actual story occurred around the year 521 B.C., during the reign of Ahasuerus, the king of ancient Persia. Esther, a Jewish maiden raised by her uncle Mordecai, became, through circumstances beyond her control, the queen consort of that mighty Persian king. He chose her not only because she was physically beautiful, but because she radiated an inner beauty of character. Events soon brought Esther's uncle Mordecai into conflict with Haman, the king's prime minister, who, on discovering Mordecai's nationality, decided to orchestrate not only Mordecai's death, but that of all the Jewish people. Haman is a villain in character and as cruel and fiendish as Hitler of Holocaust infamy. This man erected a special gallows upon which he planned to execute Mordecai. Mordecai learned of the words of the duly signed decree, because as it is written, that to destroy and to kill and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women. We read that upon hearing this, Mordecai rent his clothes, and that there was a great mourning among the Jewish people, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Mordecai quickly sent an urgent message to Queen Esther, informing her of all that had happened, and charging her to go unto the king to plead for her people. Now up to this point in time, Esther had not revealed her nationality. Her answer to Mordecai revealed the possibility of a very serious threat, for we read, "Whosoever shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law, to put him to death, except the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live." Esther then says, I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Mordecai then reminded his niece of her nationality, and that she too was also in danger. He gave this suggestion: "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Following a time of prayer and fasting by all, Esther entered into the inner court of the king. Holding out his golden scepter to Esther, the king graciously allowed her to approach his royal person. With a great deal of wisdom and restraint, Esther was able to secure the sympathy and protection of the king. Events followed quickly, which resulted in great deliverance to the Jewish residents of Persia and destruction to their enemies. It is interesting and noteworthy to observe that throughout the entire book of Esther, no mention is ever made of the name of God. At the same time, it can truly be said that in no other book is the presence of God more manifested. Just as God overturned the tables in the case of Hitler and his henchmen, so Haman with his 10 sons died on the very gallows that had been constructed for Mordecai's execution. The psalmist's statement regarding God's watchful care is exceedingly clear in this story. King David writes, "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." History is often seen to repeat itself. We are often so slow to learn its lessons. For example, in Cairo, Egypt, there exists a stele, or monument of granite, on which the great pharaoh Ramesses II, over 3,000 years ago, inscribed these words: "Israel is annihilated. Israel will have no posterity." Ramesses II and his posterity are gone. Haman and his posterity are gone. Hitler and his henchmen are also gone, but Israel survives. Our nation's leaders, along with every resident of this country, need to remember that though Israel may be a chastised people, she shall never perish from the earth. The indestructibleness of the Jewish people can be traced directly to God's grace and faithfulness to his servant Abraham. The great rabbi Shaul writes of his people that they are a people beloved for the Father's sake. God's intention concerning his great salvation and redemption have always revolved around the nation of Israel. As Yeshua himself said to a Samaritan woman, "Salvation is of the Jews." Through Israel's Messiah, salvation has come to the world. And one day soon, his plan for the nation of Israel will also be fulfilled. Another very interesting turn of events connected with the evil plan of the wicked Haman was the way in which he chose the best day to carry out his fiendish plan. Through his superstition, he used a kind of dice called in the Hebrew pur. Haman gave to the holiday its name, Purim. Had the king's golden scepter not been extended forth toward Queen Esther, she would have perished, and the Jewish people throughout the Persian Empire would have been destroyed. But God had other plans. In the 4th book of Moses, known as Numbers, there is recorded a unique prophetic reference to the promised Messiah. Quote, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Here, Messiah is spoken of as both a star and a scepter. Just as King Ahasuerus extended forth his scepter and graciously allowed Queen Esther to approach him, so God has extended forth his scepter, Jesus Christ, that through his grace men might approach him. To one of his disciples, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Almost 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus paid the price of full redemption for both Jew and Gentile through his death on the cross and his ensuing resurrection. As a result, through this scepter, God's scepter, the Lord Jesus Christ, now enthroned at the right hand of God, we may approach the King, even God, without fear, and live. The only prerequisite for approaching the Heavenly Father is repentance from our sin toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Search the Scriptures. You will find that they testify clearly of the identity of Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, the scepter of Israel that was to come. Will you consider these truths? To do so will bring your heart and mind in touch with the reality of the salvation that comes alone through Jesus Christ. Just as the great Rabbi Paul wrote, God is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Purim, in its origin, represents a great expression of faith in the working of the sovereign God in and behind the scenes of human events. Mordecai's victory typifies the victory of God over his and our great enemy, Satan. That partial and imperfect deliverance experienced in Esther's day is a signpost pointing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He alone has gained the full victory over Satan, sin, and death by the sacrificing of himself on the cross. Men today are able to enter into his victory when by faith they receive him into their hearts as their personal Lord and Savior. As the New Testament says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who call on him. Will you trust him today? Shalom.